Titus Tuesday, ladies, and anybody else that's joining us. We are streaming live from Indian Hills Community Church. I have some friends here, so I don't feel like I'm talking to an empty room. If I could give you a virtual hug, I would, but I can't. So consider yourself hugged. I am a people person. I get energized by people. I've had to adjust. So adjusting is good, but I've learned a lot through this too. So as I do this social distancing, hopefully we can learn a lot. Couple announcements. We are going to skip the cleaning day next week, and we're actually taking it completely off the schedule until a further date. So Sharon is going to teach next week. So we will have a Facebook Live at the exact same time next week. Sharon Reichenberg is going to teach. She's on the schedule for 2 weeks. She will teach next week, and we'll continue that schedule. We'll try to let you know every week what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing, but the powers that be in this room will make that decision. So just a little announcement. Tomorrow, Gil turns 77. He would call that the number of perfection, I'm sure. Just keep that in mind. We'll have to talk to Marilyn about the perfection thing, but I'm not so sure. But I have found the perfect gift for him, and you may think I have a roll of toilet paper over here. I do not. The perfect gift for him is social distancing. And I am social distancing not 6 feet, probably 3 miles. So, and I will continue to give him this gift throughout the week. So that is my gift to him. All right. Also, we have another birthday girl, Carrie. Her birthday is Friday. I don't know why I'm announcing all this, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. Carrie's at a very significant birthday. She'll be 40. She had Michaela when she was 7. So other than that, no. It's a significant birthday. I won't tell you what it is, but she's pretty excited. She can shop at Hy-Vee at 7 now. Let's just put it that way. So, all right. On with the lesson. About 9 months ago, this lesson was scheduled for today. It could not be any more appropriate than it is now. If you haven't heard Elizabeth's lesson from last week, it's kind of a beginning of my lesson. So make sure you take time to listen to that if you have time. The very first sentence in my outline for this says, God has made unbelief a serious issue in the Bible. It's one of the first sentences in this chapter, and it's also my summary. It's not only the beginning, but it's the basis for all that I'm going to talk about today. Unbelief can be called many things. Not trusting God, you have little faith. And this is not on your outline, but turn to Matthew 14. I had to throw this in from yesterday when I thought about this. And this is kind of a summary of my lesson also. Matthew 14, and this is the story about when Peter walked on the water. When the disciples, Matthew 14, verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Now, when you think about this story, no one else got out of the boat. So why was Jesus so critical of Peter, who had little faith and he doubted? God takes our actions of not believing him very seriously. What did Peter do wrong? In verse 30 it says, "But seeing the wind." That's where he began to sink. Our God has no intention of us sinking during trying times. You know, with these times with the uncertainty of the virus, he has no intention Understand, Peter had never walked on the water before. We are treading on times that we've never been on before. That doesn't make any difference. What happened was Peter started looking at the wind when God called him to look at him. And that was the problem. Now, what's nice about it is even when we are in our trials and we do the wrong thing, like Peter started looking at the wind, what did Christ do? Reached down, picked him up, brought him in the boat. Then what did he do? He kind of rebuked him. I told you, if you just keep your eyes on me, you're not going to sink. You didn't have faith. That's that unbelief I'm talking about. You have little faith, and you doubted that I could take care of you. How applicable is that to today? So really great verse, and I'll come back to it later. Unbelief can manifest itself outwardly with lying, immorality, materialism, gossip, and a lot of other sins. But unbelief also manifests itself in things that I can hide inside, such as, and this is the list that these two chapters have had, discontentment, anxiety, anger, and despair. Elizabeth covered discontentment last week. I thought it was really good. And the lie that we always need something more in our lives to have joy and peace. We're going to talk about the bottom three: anxiety, anger, and despair. Our author describes anxiety as an emotion of uncertainty. It is an emotion. It is not a fact. The results of entertaining those emotions result in things that go on in our lives that are real. It's a feeling we get when we can't seem to put all the pieces of logic together. Anxiety can also be referred to as worry and fear. It's used interchangeably in the Bible. Discontentment is the start of this. And as Elizabeth said last week, discontentment says, if only. It plants the seed that if I would have done more here, then I would have gotten what I wanted. Discontentment desperately tries to grab for control of the situation. When one can't regain control of their situation, it turns to anxiety. And anxiety gives up on the if only and then starts thinking of the worst case scenarios. And it goes from thinking if only to what if. What if this happens? We start thinking of the worst case scenarios. Worry gets fed with any what if comments we can come up with. Anytime our mind is racing with the what ifs in life, we are no longer thinking of what God wants us to. Have we ever gone through the what ifs thinking, well, what if God comes through for me here? We never do that. We think of the worst case scenarios. He has total control of all the what ifs you can think of and all the what ifs that you aren't even thinking of. We don't want to become a worrier because worry is sin. I think we forget that. Worry is just not being concerned. When it stresses you out, worry is a sin. And here are some things that our author suggests that may be a red flag in your life if you're a worrier. So here's some characteristics of worriers. They meditate on the worst possible outcome. The worrier can take any situation and imagine multiple scenarios of how things can go wrong. I don't know why we do that, but that is sin nature, and I believe the devil says, like he did with Eve, you know, did your God really say? He plants doubts in our mind, and we run with it. Our mind runs with it. The problem with this is while they spend much time imagining the future, like I said before, God is never a part of the solution. What happens when we look at life according to the what ifs, we are meditating on the uncertainties of life. I really like that statement. When I am thinking what if, or I'm worrying, I am thinking about the uncertainties of life. Worriers are master at looking at something from the worst possible angle. When you say what if, you are trying to figure out in your mind all the bad possibilities that could happen. And we've got to figure out, why am I doing that? Am I going to change anything by worrying about something? It leads to the next point. Worriers try desperately to gain control of their lives. That's the problem. Something has come into our life right now. All of us have changed our habits. And we can't control what next week's going to look like. I don't know what next week's going to look like. I don't know what April's going to look like. I don't know what July's going to look like. Wow, I have to trust the Lord with this. Well, even when things are going well, we have to trust the Lord with this. You may not think so, but, you know, in December or even January, God knows, okay, the world does not know this yet, but I'm going to turn it upside down for a while. Don't know why he's allowed this, but he's been in control all along, so nothing has changed. Look at how the virus has changed our lives. I think I said that. Why doesn't that give me comfort that I know God has everything in control even when things are going well? I mean, I think we're comforted by that when things are going well, but when things aren't going well, for some reason, the comfort goes out the window. It's basically because I don't know what next Tuesday is going to look like. I don't know what April's going to look like. We need to realize that that's every day of our lives. You know, there's people close to me and my kids' relationship that have died all of a sudden. Not even, no symptoms, nothing. They just died. Had no idea. God did. God has our days numbered. Perfectionists are usually great worriers. If you classify yourself as a perfectionist, that's not a good thing. You need to change your ways because you want everything just so, just right. And God never intended us to have everything just so. Because when do we grow? We don't grow when things are just so. We grow when things are a little bit up in the air. Worriers' mental and physical health are usually compromised. Not every physical and mental issue we have is because we worry. That's obvious. But our author goes into many reasons why worry can hurt us mentally and physically. And it's proven that stress does wear down the immune system. He also expands on how we were raised. You know, if you were raised in a home that where people worry, you're going to have to be on top of that. But we can rethink everything that we've ever been taught by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it can correct all of that. Even non-believers acknowledge that worry is not good for us. But the solution they usually give us is temporary. It's not eternal like we have. We have to grasp these things that we've been promised and understand we have the power to not worry. And then worriers justify their worry. My mom, rest her soul, she's been dead for 23 years. She always had a reason why she worried about something. She always could come up, now this is why I'm worrying about this. They usually have... They say, I'm just concerned. I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. Well, let's see what that concern looks like. If it's consuming you, that you can't get rest at night, you're worrying. Let's call it what it is. I better deal with things if I get all the facts and then I decide for myself. I want to get all these facts and decide for myself. And my favorite is you are just being irresponsible by trusting God. You know, and you're not wanting to know more. Why don't you want to know? You need to know more. Don't let people talk you into things that cause you to worry. Bottom line is anxiety and fear that I will not get what I want or what I need. That's the bottom line for anxiety. And it's driven by unbelief and discontentment. And that's why worry, anxiety, and fear are all a part of a spiritual problem. We need to view our lives spiritually and circumstantially through the eyes of the Lord. We have to think God is enough for me. Is God enough for us in this situation? Well, you know, got a lot of ladies here, not a lot, less than 10. Some ladies here that are nodding their head. They're going, but is it here? You know, we know it here. That's why we put it here so we can... We're getting to practice all these things we've learned in Titus Tuesday. I'm thinking of all the discussion groups we've had. We said, someday we're going to have to put this into practice. Someday you're equipped. We're equipped. We just need to encourage one another. And it's exciting, actually. I wish I could hug you. No, it's all right. Not all of you. All right. All right, anger. Anger's the next step. We have discontentment. We have anxiety. There's guilt in there, too. And then sometimes it comes out in anger. And the spiraling downward way of thinking started last week when Elizabeth talked about discontentment. So anger is a strong emotion of displeasure. I've come to realize that I'm not going to get what I want, so I'm mad. You know, the anxiety part, what if, I'm not going to get what I want, so I'm mad about it. In a dramatic form, what do toddlers do when they don't get what they want? I mean, there's two reactions. It's the paralyzed, you know, they're with all of their being. And then there's that flat out fit on the floor where they're, I mean, we're thinking, how silly is that? Well, we do that inside. We aren't getting what we want. And we think our life is over if we don't get what we want. And that's when anger comes out. Anger is manifested more seriously because it usually involves someone else in the line of fire. Anger expresses itself in a destructive way, cutting words, violent actions aimed at other people, and sometimes even self-injury. Anger is not only a sin, but the reason we get angry is a sin. We are self-centered. It's about my happiness and about you helping me get there. And if something happens and I'm not happy, I've got to blame someone. It can't possibly be my fault. The blame has to go elsewhere. And as long as I can blame someone else, then I can go on with my life and feel good because I've blamed it on somebody else, not realizing the hurt that we inflict when we do that. Despair, anxiety, and anger unresolved usually leads to despair. And this is an emotion of hopelessness. The one fearing he won't get what he thinks he needs will eventually realize that he will never get what he thinks he wants or the way he wants it. The bipolar person is a great combination of anger and despair, the two opposite and sinful emotions. The believer, if rightly thinking, should never be in despair. We have hope. And no person or situation can take that away from you. Not even the worst of situations can take our hope away from us. If the believer is rightly thinking, discontentment, worry, fear, anger would be checked. We'd say, I'm worrying. I need to start thinking differently. If you're getting to a despair moment, you've gone through discontentment, let it go. Anxiety, you let that go. Anger, you let that go. You're down to despair. Despair is the last thing. So we can have hope. And notice, it's an emotion. A believer has the power to overcome all of this. Prayer and right thinking is the solution. So we can trust this great God. And if you can't think you can trust him, if you have no hope, then you need to study who our God is. You need to rethink about the attributes of God. You got to rehearse in your mind this awesome God that we serve. And he's awesome in the good times, and he's awesome in the bad times. Okay, the solution. All of the above characteristics are a result of unbelief, lack of trust, and faith in our God, period. There's no other way around it. And notice the definition. Each one is an emotion. And we all have emotions. What we need to do is make sure that we are recognizing when our emotions are sinful. You know, we all have emotions. I don't care, the most stoic person has emotions. But we have to identify when those emotions are misleading us. And we have to equip ourselves. And we need to start thinking correctly. The meditating on the negative uncertainties of life right now is what a fearful person will do. God has commanded us to think on the certainties of life. Here's the solution, the certainties of life, what God has promised to the believer. The time we spend on thinking about how awful things are going to be is the time we should be concentrating on what God has promised to us. No good can come out of overthinking what could go wrong. There is nothing good. So, common sense with the virus, listen to the instruction of the experts and our governing officials and obey it, and then stop trying to sift through all the details to see if they're doing what's right and the experts are right on their advice. My God will protect me to the extent he wishes to protect me. I am a humble and obedient servant, and he will take care of me if I treat it that way. And remember, don't forget why I'm here on this earth in the first place. Why are we here on this earth in the first place? To glorify God. Doesn't matter if it's good times or bad times. So I'll talk a little more about that in a little bit. His plan for my life has not changed. Okay, turn to our go-to worry section. Philippians 4. Believe it or not, there's more to glean from this passage. Philippians 4, and I'm just going to read 6 through 9. And you probably could look at me and recite it with me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It's time we meditate on the right things. You want to stop worrying? You are concentrating on the uncertainties of life. What should we be concentrating on? The certainties of life. This passage is great because when we start worrying, it says what we need to do. We need to give it to God. We give it to God. Let him know what's concerning us. Be thankful he's taking us through this time. Why are we thankful he's taking us through this time? You guys can talk.
Because all things are
going to be good. All things are going to be good for his glory. Mm-hmm. Not for my happiness, for his glory. That's the bottom line. But then we just don't stop there. I think we have forgotten 8 and 9. We have to fill our minds with things that are proper. Mm-hmm. So it's time to meditate on the right things. Fear not, and I think I've said this before, it's in the Bible 143 times. It's by far the most repeated command in the Bible. So the Lord knows we have a tendency to fear through the Old Testament and the New Testament. So he knows us well. So finally, brethren, dwell on these things is my last category here. So what are we going to do? We're going to talk about some things that we know, that we can dwell on, that God has promised us. So you're going to be flipping through the Bibles. Turn to Psalm 118. What are some great things we can fill our minds with today? This particular category, I have, the Lord is for me, and nothing man can do changes that. You ever thought about that? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, my God is for me. Whether I live, whether I die, he's for me and he's with me. Starting in verse 5, from my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. I mean, David is just basically saying, I'm not going to fear here. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me. Among those who help me, therefore I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. What a great verse that we don't have to have everything just so. It's better to take refuge in the Lord. As we get to know all the different explanations of how this is all going to go down, you know, there are people that may die and get sick that we know. What makes him grieved is when we don't trust him and paralyzing thoughts make us ineffective for him. Proverbs 3, and you don't have to turn there because you probably know this, but you can if you want. Trust in the Lord completely. Why do I trust in the Lord completely? He is trustworthy in everything. You know, it's not fun to trust in something that you don't know if they're going to come through for you. He is trustworthy in everything. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Don't fear. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Just great advice. Trust in the Lord. John 14. And you don't have to turn to that either. God is our source of peace, and we can guard our hearts from fear if we let them. Now, we just read that in Philippians 4. We know that the God of peace will guard our hearts if we give everything to them. But I really like John 14 that summarizes this. It says, John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. He's telling us, don't be troubled. If Christ was here, he would say these words, don't be troubled and don't be fearful. You'll have the peace of God if you just think on the right things. God cares for me personally, so throw all your worries on him. If you find yourself worrying about it, you really can just lay it at his feet. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for me. Isn't that incredible that he cares for you? I don't know why he does, but it says it in the Bible, and that's a promise, and we know that. The next section, if your soul is troubled, identify what the problem is. What is the problem? I think most of us can, but I think there's these verses here. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. I mean, what has always been the problem in all these things? Search me. What's the problem? I have anxious thoughts. This isn't anything new. Hope in God. That's the very next. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant Psalm 42. I jumped. And he will see if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. So as we're asking God to search our hearts, we're also asking him to know my anxious thoughts. You know my anxious thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it says those are hurtful ways. See if there's any hurtful way. He doesn't want you to worry. Psalm 42:5 says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? I mean, David is talking about himself. Hope in God. He basically says, okay, why are you disturbed, soul? Hope in God. Well, that just seems like too easy. That it can't be that easy. That's what the Bible says. For I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. And then lastly, I can learn and grow in the Lord during this time. Let's go ahead and turn to Romans 5. Romans 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in tribulation. Why are we happy about tribulation? Well, he's going to tell us, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So, just a tremendous encouragement, and you have lots of other verses that you can go to for the promises of God to be such an encouragement to you. Application for today, what does God expect from me? What does God expect from me on March 24th, 2020? I saw some things that say, I'd like a do-over for 2020. Let's start again. No, this is exactly what God wants us to have. Get the information that you need to live under the law of the land. Don't read all the gory predictions. We are not to worry about tomorrow. People have to get those statistics. I understand that. People have to prepare for those, but we don't have to worry about them. And then go ahead and serve the Lord in new ways. You know, I'm finding that a lot of the ways I serve the Lord have been curtailed. Well, I never walk my dog. Never. Duke is just out back, and he does his own thing. I thought, well, I'll just take him for a walk. I don't have anything to do. Took him for a walk. And here comes this older lady out of the apartment complex. We live by Thomas Brook Apartments. And the old lady came out, and she said, well, how are you today? And I said, I'm fine. How are you? And she says, well, I don't know. So I said, well, You got to trust the Lord. Our days are numbered. And she looked at me, our days are numbered? I said, no. She really thought I was saying that we're all going to die. No, that's not what I mean. I said, you know, the Lord has a plan for our lives. And she says, yeah, I believe that. I said, but unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it doesn't become real. Had this great conversation with her. I don't know if she's a believer or not a believer, but it's like she, oh, yeah, I remember I used to believe. You know, we're bringing things to mind. Anyway, she thanked me. She says, I'm really glad I ran into you. I was worried about this. I said, well, I'm just doing a lesson about worrying, so that's why it's on my bed. But it was great. Would have never had that conversation had I not walked that silly dog that I never do. So there's new ministries out there. Look for them. You know, we may think I'm stuck in my house. We got time to write letters now. We got time to text people. We got time. We can still encourage people. So it's a great time for that. And if I'm going to think about things that are pure, lovely, honorable, I think about those things. But what else does it tell us to do? It's in the title of this section. I need to dwell on those things. What does the word dwell mean? It says bring them to mind often. Because we can go off the deep end and start worrying again. Bring them to mind often. God's plan for your life has not changed. When I'm going to die has not changed. He is always with me has not changed. His perfect plan for my life has not changed. His perfect plan for your loved ones has not changed. Final thoughts in Psalm 31. It says, oh, love the Lord, all you godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the doer, the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Hope seems to be coming up a lot. If we hope in the Lord, I can be strong and be courageous. We have great hope. We have a fact. It's not something that we hope for. This is a fact. It's not on our outline. We're not going to turn to it. But 1 Corinthians 50 through 58, I just love that portion. And that talks about how we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Talks about how death no longer has its sting. And then he concludes, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast and immovable. And that simply means you don't have to be on this roller coaster of emotions. If I think about my future, I'm going to have an imperishable body. That should encourage a lot of us, that my body's going to change and it's going to be pretty good. And death is no longer has its sting. We have eternal life with him. Therefore, we can be steadfast during this time. What a tremendous testimony it is if we can be steadfast, even in the line when we're getting groceries. There's many opportunities. Romans 15:4 says, and then we've gone over these verses, it says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance, that's what we're doing, and the encouragement of the scriptures, that's what we're looking at, we might have hope. That's what we want. And that's the only thing that's going to take care of your anxiety, is the power of the scriptures. God has made unbelief a serious issue in the Bible. That's what I started out with. Don't forget the important lesson of Peter walking on the water. Get out of the boat, realize that what you're walking on, you've never walked on before, and keep your eyes on him. When you start looking at the wind, you're going to start sinking. Understand, the Lord is disappointed when we do that. He says, you got little faith. Keep your faith strong. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the freedom to be able to do this, to be able to even live stream something when we can't be together, that we do have the freedom to let people watch this if they want to watch it. We just pray we will be encouraged through this word that you've given us, the steadfast word that never changes. It seems like anything is always applicable to what we're going through. I just pray people will be encouraged and take this opportunity to be a great testimony in different ways, that we would adjust our thinking, and that we would encourage one another with godly words and godly actions. Thank you for this day. Be with all of us this week. Help us to be the wives, the mothers, the women that we need to be. In your precious name, amen.